Hello and welcome to another instalment of the Full Force Monthly, brought to you by Hoarder, the collector's app. I am Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80, and in this regular series, we get stuck into specific G.I. Joe related topics with different special guests every single month. So who's joining me on this episode? Well, first up, we have one half of the Articulated Points YouTube channel and my regular co-host on the Full Force Weekly. It's Patrick Not Picard Stewart and the awesomely talented artist, Adam Snitches Get Stitches Riches. Fresh from his recent work on that incredible Classified Sergeant Slaughter classified box art. I said classified, stop saying classified, which we will be looking at in more detail today. Throw in another version therapy and you've got yourself a brand new episode of
Full Force Monthly.
Yay! Awesome. Thank you for that, Pat.
They were going to say it was fresh out of the penitentiary after Snitches Get Stitches. I was like, man, we're getting hard.
Fresh out the pen. Good to have you on, buddy. Thanks. Well, to have both of you on. We'll start, Adam, we'll start with you because obviously you haven't been on for ages. How are you doing, pal?
Just average. You heard any G.I. Joe news lately? Or
not much. Yeah. As we're in the midst of Yojo July, it would appear. Oh my goodness. And also, we're going to get Yojo August. We're going to get Serpentor September. We're going to get the October Guard. Yeah. Joe October Guard. And we'll get, what would November, I can't think of one for November. I've actually written this down in the past.
Jovember, is that too on the nose?
Thank you. That's what I wrote. Jovember and Yo Ho Ho Joe. It's a Christmas time special. So anyway, yeah, that's what's happening at the moment. It's ridiculous.
But why stop there? Joeuary.
Jebuary. What does that even mean? But glad you're good. Pat, how are you doing, pal?
Doing just fine, yeah. Excited to be back for a monthly.
Excited? Probably not the right word.
The excitement's palpable, you can tell.
This is an exciting one because we're talking all about your work, Adam, today. It's all about you, isn't it? We're really excited to chat about this stuff. Obviously, it's the Sergeant Slaughter special, I guess. We're going to be delving into your artwork today. So I suppose we might as well just get stuck in then, because Pat's got to go to work soon. So
you mean this isn't all three of our full-time jobs?
Not even close. Right, cool. Explosion. Right then, with Adam on the show, we had to delve deep into that fantastic G.I. Joe classified Sergeant Slaughter box art, and with the figure going up for pre-order today, it's only made sense that we do this now. I say today, it is like pre-recorded, but it will be dropping this on the day of pre-order opportunities. So Adam, let's start off with, I would say, how did this come about? Because obviously you're a huge G.I. Joe fan, not just that, a huge movie fan. And you've been wanting to get on movie-related artwork for G.I. Joe in an official capacity for ages. So how did this one come about?
Well, I'm going to give a quick cheap plug to the Sergeant Slaughter Slaughterhouse podcast with Zazel, because last month I did an episode with Sergeant Slaughter, the man himself, and his daughter Kelly, where I really delved into like the serious minutiae of like my childhood fandom and like totally, you know, geeked out and, you know, practically cried like a little girl on camera. So if you want to get all the real, real, like, deep, boring backstory, that watch that. But the long short of how this happened. So I had actually been approached very early, if you can believe, like, within, like, the first couple of months of the classified line, like, over 2 years ago, wow, asking if I wanted to do box art. And, like, yeah, duh, of course I do. And then it just didn't happen. And time kept going by, and I kept seeing more people announced, artists that I actually know, people that I'm friends with. And I was like, I'll be honest, I was seething with jealousy. I was like, mother, you know? But I kept checking in periodically, you know, because it's like, they asked me, I didn't come to them. So I was like, obviously, like, you know, it's going to happen eventually. And at the time, I was even kind of like looking at GIJoe.com and being like, okay, who's still left? Who's still good? Maybe sci-fi. Sci-fi could be good. Like, I'm like, okay, maybe it could be, you know, I'm going down like C-list, D-list, and I'm like missing all the top characters. And I'm like, man, this kind of sucks, I'll be honest. And then I reached out.
Lightfoot, Downtown, Tiger Force, Tollbooth, That sort of thing. Yeah, yeah, I get what you're saying.
But so, like, 2 years ago, or no, a year and a half ago, I don't know exactly, 2 years, whatever. Time's a flat circle. I had seen Sergeant Slaughter was doing a live signing at the start of the pandemic, where you would, like, mail in your items and, like, on Skype or whatever, he'd sign them and, you know, answer your questions. And during this, he says, oh, yeah, I've got a little meeting coming up with my friend Ben at Hasbro. And I'm like, what? You know, and at the time, I think a lot of people were like, oh, he must have misspoke. You know, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Maybe he meant Mattel. And I'm like, there's no way he doesn't know what he's talking. I mean, like, first of all, he gave a specific name.
Yeah.
You know, but.
And also, we knew Ben, like, at the time as well. We knew Ben at Hasbro at the time on the G.I. Joe brand. So it all kind of, like, made a lot of sense at that
yeah, so it,
moment.
It wasn't particularly hard to piece together that potentially something was in the works. And so, you know, being that I was already on their radar and already having these discussions, I went ahead and shot my shot and sent this email and just said, look, I know you probably can't talk about this. You might not even know about this. But, you know, if the man himself is saying it, it's probably going to happen. So I just want it out there known that, like, this would far and away be my number one character. Because, like, legitimately, even if Classified was starting from scratch, that would have been my number one character. But, like, who could have ever dreamed that Sergeant Slaughter was coming back, you know, when the line started?
Yeah.
So, especially with, like, the early direction the line had. So anyway, though, of course, as I figured, no reply to that message. And then, like, maybe, I don't know, 7-8 months went by, and, you know, I hear whispers, you know. So I had kind of gotten the inclination that this was going to go forward now. So I wrote him again and I said, look, maybe you can't answer this either, but, like, now I know for sure this is happening. So I'm just going to, like, really shoot my shot. So here's, like, embarrassing childhood photos of me obsessing over Sergeant Slaughter. Here's my signed pictures, my animation cells, my figure collection. Here's photos of me and him together. Please, please, please let me do this. So anyway, a few more months went by. And then I finally got the call in
checks logs.
Yeah, so I guess it was about 1 year after my pestering campaign started that I actually got the offer. So
there you go, kids. It just takes 1 year of pestering to get what you want.
Yeah, and also the 10 years of working on G.I. Joe before that and the 20 years of trying to work on G.I. Joe before that. It's just, you know.
Just 1 year. Steps. 1 year of constant emails. Done.
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant.
So anyway, that's the long short of it. And there we are. And then that was about 1 year ago today that process started on working on this.
We should be, well, we're celebrating today by doing this recording then, aren't we? I'm interested as well how the process worked with you and Hasbro, like, how, like, hands-on were you allowed to be with it? Did they give you any guidance, or was it a thing of, like, just do what you're going to do and then we'll talk through it kind of thing? How did that work?
Extremely hands-on is the short answer.
Oh,
I don't know if it's like that for everyone on the artist series. I think I'm a little bit of a special case in a few situations. I mean, number one, I'm a huge fan, and I think a lot of the people that work on it aren't. So, like, I came at it from a different perspective, obviously. But also, this was a unique thing because at the time we were starting this, this was the very first plastic-free packaging.
Yes.
And it was the first and to date only situation where you were dealing with an actual real-life human. And that had, obviously, as you can imagine, a variety of other complications that come into it because of, you know, likeness rights, contractual stuff, et cetera.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And of course, there was also, I think, farther out production deadlines because everything had to get approved by his team before it could ever, you know, make it anywhere into production. So I think my process might have been a little bit unique from that standpoint. But as far as involvement, though, I guess right out of the gate, I got to shout out Cecil Cates, who's the art director on the artist series. A dream to work with. I mean, as you can imagine, throughout the course of my career, I've probably had, I don't know, 100 different art directors. We got along so well that, like, we probably had 15 hours worth of Zoom meetings about this. I'd say probably two of those were actually spent talking about Sergeant Slaughter, and the rest of it was more like shooting the Sarge, you know? Like, so it's, we got along a little too well almost. It was like, working hard or hardly working? Yeah. just kidding. I seriously worked my ass off on this. anyway.
Well, yeah, because I mean, you obviously you've bombarded us with a number of images.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you want to, you can, like, take us through that process if you want one by one, and we'll kind of go with the slideshow, obviously, that we've got at our disposal. So the first one that you sent us was that kind of image that we've seen in the background when they first revealed the Sarge was going to be part of the Classified series. First of all, why is it so bad quality-wise? Or have you just zoomed in on something from like a mile away? And also, yeah, what's the significance of this image?
So I did not create that. That's actually a blown up shot from the background of that video. So on April 26th, that video was first shown revealing that he had rejoined the G.I. Joe team. And at the time I was kind of giddy because I realized there's actually a snippet of my art in the background of this thing. That's like a little Easter egg that I can't talk about yet. And amazing. No one knows. So I thought that was kind of funny that I don't think anyone picked up on that. That, no. That actually is part of the card art that was on that monitor behind him.
You see, I obviously picked up on the image, but didn't realize. I just thought that was done specifically for, you know, just by, like logo firm or something. I didn't realize it was part of your artwork.
No, I think that was done in-house by Hasbro. I mean, the additions to it, obviously, but the actual image of him is the image that's on the top left of the figures box.
Fantastic. That's awesome.
Did they add in the logo on his shirt, or was that something that had been there?
No, that's me. There's a... I don't know. I don't know how much I can say about this, but there's, I guess we did some different Sergeant Slaughter art pertaining to him that I think might get additional use through like whatever licensed merchandise, like a t-shirt or something. And so cool. I think that's just like classified branding.
So take us through those packaging mock-ups that you've so graciously shared with us as well. They look awesome.
Okay. So this very first image you're seeing here, this was the very, very first like super rough cobbled together photo kind of rough mock-up thing that I sent to Hasbro. I think in some cases, and this is when you were asking about how my process worked and how it might differ from some people, I think for some people, if they come to it and they really don't have any ideas, then I assume they get some kind of direction.
Yeah.
In my case, though, I already kind of came with a somewhat formulated idea. And the idea was Sergeant Slaughter has all this history with the brand. How do we encapsulate that into one image? And also, I think part of it for me was I really just wanted to stand out from the packaging that had already been seen up to this point.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be really cool if you could incorporate all these different artistic styles into one image, because that was not really something that had ever been done. So as you can see here, and if you've seen the final art, you probably already know, my thinking was, well, we'll pay tribute to all the different facets. So we'll do live action, we'll do animation, we'll do classified, we'll do toy, you know, et cetera. So anyway,
was your idea at this point to do the kind of film strip in the background, or was that, did that kind of develop over time? No pun intended, by the way, in terms of film and develop.
I think it came pretty early on. I mean, I was, as you'll see, if you want to go to the next slide now, the one that's kind of like blue color.
Yes.
So my thinking here as it was, this is now it's starting to get kind of more defined.
Yeah, yeah.
I was trying to figure out how do you frame all of these things, you know, and I think that that's when the film strip sort of made perfect sense to me, because I thought, well, the live action shots of him, like the 8x10 promotionals, the commercial bumpers, the intros to the movie, all that stuff, that would take place in film, right? Maybe.
Yeah,
and then I thought underneath that, if you wanted to continue the strip, then you would incorporate a toy commercial, which we'll get to in a minute. But
yes.
So this is kind of where I was tightening it up and trying to figure out, well, how do I actually make this fit on a box? One of the big things at this point was I had taken a picture of all the classified figures boxes together that I had up to that point. And the reason I took it was because I was trying to figure out, when you look at it art side out, if you're just looking at the side, which ones really stood out and which ones didn't. And I found that the ones that did were the ones that had a bigger, bolder image. You know, some of them have more like a small, like action montage kind of thing. And
yeah, lots of different things happening. And yeah,
they read good when you look at them up close. But I thought from a distance, if this is on a shelf as part of a collection, or this is on a peg in a store, what's going to read from a distance? And I thought Sergeant Slaughter has such an iconic face already. Just the visual of the campaign cover and the aviators and the mustache and the chin, like you would know him a mile away if you saw him. And I thought this is kind of just put him on the side, you know? That's where that came from. And I guess I did skip one thing on the first image. If you look at the bottom right,
yeah,
you see how there's the red, white, and blue lines, wrestling ring ropes. And
yes.
Originally, the only thing that ended up, spoiler, we'll just cut to the end. The only thing that didn't end up happening is that. I had this idea that maybe we could pay homage to his, you know, side hustle as a wrestler. and I was going to carry on the stripes from the G.I. Joe Classified logo and turn it into red, white, and blue wrestling ring robes. That was the only one that I couldn't get past, and I totally understand why. This has nothing to do with wrestling. That was just supposed to be a little wink towards him. So other than that, though, pretty much what you see in this image is where we ended up. So if you want to go to the next one.
Yes.
So this was once Cecil and I had already had all these discussions and we kind of had to move it up the pipeline. Now I needed to put together sort of a more formal presentation and, you know, write out exactly what we were aiming for here and kind of break this down for somebody that might not understand all this. So that's what you're seeing right here is basically just to give whoever's looking at this a frame of reference of what all these different things break down into. There was a little bit of concern over is the multiple art styles thing going to work? Because, you know, that as far as I know, that hasn't been done before or since, but I was really confident that it could. And I thought that, you know, really overloading it with Easter eggs for G.I. Joe fans would be well received. So
definitely.
I ultimately won them over with my incredible passion or persistence. I'm not sure which, but but so yeah, you know, you see how this breaks down. Like I said, if you want to go on to the next one, we'll start getting into how the image actually came together. Ooh, so
that's a nice close up.
Yeah. So up here is in the top. This is the top left corner. This is a weird thing. Like I wasn't totally sure if it was okay to have him in front of an American flag because I know, you know, we're going through an international audience, but then there are vehicles like the Ram that has a US flag on it. So just to be sure, what I ended up doing to kind of cheat that a little bit was I had him running, standing in front of the vertical stripes, which he did do on a lot of the promotional photos, as you just saw. Mm-hmm. But I've got the stars in his sunglasses reflection.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. That's genius.
So that's kind of cool. And then this shot, this is the same one that was in that little preview image behind him earlier. You'll see I've got a lot of like film grain, like scratches and stuff on this. I kind of wanted to make it look a little weathered, you know, 80s, I guess. But also, I was trying to figure out how you take the center image and sort of push it forward in space. So I had to find a way to kind of subdue everything just a little bit. And I thought that kind of giving it a little textural difference would help to do that.
Is that so the kind of explosion Sarge is kind of really prominent? Yeah.
Right. So, and that one, this is another funny thing, you know, there's so many things that you work on this stuff so far in advance that I think by the time it comes out, people might have questions about why did you do this and why did you do that? And it's like, well, I could only do things at the frame of reference I had at the time.
Yeah.
At the time that I was designing this, the 4-inch Walmart retro line had already ended and the 6-inch retro classified line had not yet been announced. So my thinking was, oh, people would love to see an explosion back on a classified box, you know, not knowing obviously that a whole line of them was coming. So, you know, that's just how it goes. But yeah, so that's that. The other thing too was that I think this probably goes without saying, but despite all these different images representing different eras and his history with the brand, the one caveat from Hasbro was he absolutely has to be in the classified look in all of them. So it can feel reminiscent of that, or it can look nostalgic, but obviously it has to reflect the product you're actually getting. And on that note too, you will notice there are some differences in the figure versus the artwork. Minor stuff, like the center of his chevron pin on his hat is filled in on mine. He has a military style web belt on mine. His whistle cord is white. You see this on a lot of the classified stuff. You know, I'm working on this so far in advance that I guess deco changes were made or whatever, certain tooling changes were made. And so like Major Blood's another example of that, where you'll notice the art is pretty significantly different from the actual figure. I just want everyone to know, I was just working with the reference I had at the time. So it's not like I went into business for myself. You know, what you see is what I thought we were getting at the time.
Okay, so now we're kind of into the commercial aspect.
Yeah, so artwork. I feel like this is something that is almost so subtle that if you didn't have it pointed out, you might not even know it was there. But this is hidden in the background of the frame underneath that 80s, I guess, like live action shot. So just sort of take mental note of that Triple T commercial. So if you look very, very subtly hidden right above the top of that fist is a still shot of that commercial. The idea here was, this whole thing is just one giant Easter egg, basically. It's filled with jokes, it's homages, it's, you know, so this one is, let's see if I can get this right. It's the actual human Sergeant Slaughter's hand holding his classified figure, which is holding its accessory figure, which is punching through a 1980 toy commercial. Are we all clear there? So So then underneath that, if you look right beneath the fist, is another toy commercial of a version one Cobra Commander falling, which if you're a real nerd and you want to know, that's actually from the Cobra Claw commercial. He wasn't really falling. I turned it upside down. And then beneath that, we've got a modern day Regal Cobra Commander who's being punched through the space-time continuum. They've been battling for 40 years.
Amazing.
Well, not exactly 40. Slaughter debuted in 86, but whatever.
Close enough.
So I thought it would be really cool to include that. And as soon as I saw that he came with an accessory of himself, I was like, we got to find a way to work that in there. It's just, you know, it's too fun. And obviously him being a toy is a big part of the lore of the character.
I really love that. And I love all of the, because this is the thing, when I remember talking about this one with Pat, actually, on the weekly, we were going through this artwork a little bit, and I kept saying, I keep finding things. And like, I don't think I noticed a triple T. I might have done, Pat, when we talked about it, but I can't remember off the top of my head. What I did notice, though, was the Deke Sarge used underneath. Yeah. Now that, yeah. I was looking at that going, oh my God, he's dropped a Deke reference in there in the most hidden way ever as well. Yeah. VHS, I'm guessing, with the little play button over the top of it and everything.
Yep. Yeah. So as we'll get to in a few minutes here, there's obviously a Sunbow reference in here too. And I thought, well, if we're just covering Slaughter's whole history, we got to get a Deke appearance in there too. So
gotta get some Deke in there.
That's So, I mean, obviously I didn't have a lot of space to work with down there, but I thought this is a cool place to fit it. It kind of fits the film motif, you know, it's still a televised broadcast. So yeah, I'm glad you picked up on that, because I was almost about to skip right past it. I almost forgot myself.
That's amazing. Because I was thinking, oh, he's just going to talk about this whole thing, and we're just going to be sitting here going, oh, here we go. No, that's great, man. I'm so glad. I'm glad that you were
going. Yeah, so, I tried to draw that to kind of look like his appearance in Operation Dragonfire, and then obviously just went to town distorting it and putting a play button in there, because I wanted it to really have that, like, very worn-out VHS look. Because, again, this whole thing... It was, in some ways, it was like building a puzzle to make this composition work, but it was almost like making a three-dimensional puzzle too, because things had to work spatially. So like, I needed that fist and that figure to feel like it was more forward in space, even more forward than the center image. So I had to figure out a way to knock all that stuff back, and I thought putting the VHS kind of static on there would do that.
Also, while we're on this close-up, I assume that the background is his camo pattern on his pants.
Yeah, I mean, it not specifically. Actually, if you really want to know, the Mail Away Action Star cereal T-shirt, that's what that pattern actually is. That's what I scanned that off.
Oh, wow.
Genius, man. Another,
this is, see, like next-level dorkdom.
Never would have known that. So that's another Easter egg. I mean, the list of Easter eggs on this is increasing to what I thought were already on there. Like, this is nuts.
Yeah, it's... Honestly, I think for me... This was a character that I have such an affinity for. I mean, obviously the real life man, Bob Remus, as well as the character Sergeant Slaughter, who I've met several times, who I really, really respect. And so I think for me, I was almost kind of entertaining myself at this point. I was like, how can we make this that much more layered and intricate and complicated? And like, you know, just, I want this to be a thing that G.I. Joe fans pick over, you know, like.
Yes, like I do.
We have these discussions sometimes amongst ourselves. We have a group chat, and sometimes we'll have a thing where we'll see, like, I don't know, Countdown's artwork and be like, I didn't know that piece connected like that, you know? And this is stuff we're discovering 30 years later. And it's like, I think I want fans to have that with this. I want them to just pour over this and still be discovering little thing. You know, I'm kind of giving it all away here, obviously, now, but it would be nice for people to be able to just, you know, pour over this. And even when they think they've seen it all, you know, someday they pick it up a year later and be like, whoa, I didn't see that. So
absolutely, you know. Absolutely. So yeah, so as we move around the box, we get to the top right, I believe, now.
Yep. So Sergeant Slaughter didn't have a lot of comic book appearances, but the ones he did, I enjoyed, obviously. And I thought it would just be cool. I really wanted to play with a lot of different styles, obviously. I thought that it would look so cool to have that 1980s sort of halftone comic book printed look.
Yeah.
So I guess another thing I should mention is that all of these different styles were done in the medium that you would think they were to achieve that. So like, this is actually pen and ink on Bristol board. It's like the same way you would draw a comic book.
Wow.
And once I scanned this in, what you're seeing right here is sort of before I did any kind of digital touch up, but it's actually, you know, superimposed onto a piece of newsprint. And then if you want to go down one more slide.
Yeah.
So this is what it actually looks like in context. So There's a.
I like that his little boots standing on his hat.
Yeah, so this was a fun thing. I guess this goes back to me being sort of the experimental guinea pig about how are we going to do a plastic-free package. You know, this was something that I feel like I was up for the challenge, but I don't feel like anybody else had to really think like this. You know, they were able to make one image and then that image would get chopped up into three pieces and they'd put one on the front and two on the side. You didn't really have to do this, but I think I wanted to. I wanted to figure out how can I make this whole thing work as one image flat that you can, you know, wrap around the side of the box. So what I came up with was that this is the front and this is the side. And of course, I didn't just want to cut off the brim of his campaign cover. So what I thought you would do is if that wrapped in the front, that could be a dividing element between these two panels. And then that created the hill that the comic is running up.
Genius.
So I thought that was sort of a fun little thing to do. And
is it things like that that you get the most satisfaction out of when you're trying to work like problem solve on a card? Because I remember we had that chat ages ago where you came up with the idea of having, was it the sniper who was holding the gun in a certain way? Had the gun going over through the gap between the
crosshair. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, is that something that gives you an immense amount of satisfaction when you pull it off?
I think when it's done, yes. I think when you're doing it, you're like, what was I thinking? Like, because the other thing is like this, so every image on this box was done separately. Everyone was talked about endlessly, worked on endlessly, discussed, you know, approvals. And then it was like, then you check that box and you'd put it there. But then when you're gonna put the next one, you'd be like, uh-oh, it's the hair off. Now I gotta, you know, try and make it so. It's a lot of that. So, and then another little nerd thing here, kind of like the camo background, if you wanna go down to the next image.
Yeah.
So all that halftone pattern that you see there was actually scanned out of 80s Marvel G.I. Joe comics.
Wow.
So I didn't color it. I sort of, you know, cut out colors and applied them, I guess is the right way to say
awesome.
It.
Awesome.
So. And I thought that would give it a nice subdued look too. That kind of helped to push it back in space to have it have that sort of washed out look so that the center image would be that much more vibrant.
I didn't even realize looking at the even the close-ups, I didn't realize that it had that kind of, you know, the dots kind of style.
Yeah, and that's one of those things too where I almost wonder, like, you know, obviously nobody has the finished product in hand yet. So I'm not sure when we actually get this in hand, if that'll even be visible. So I don't know if I was just, you know, wasting time amusing myself or if, but we'll find out.
Well, I love that there's evidence that that's what it should look like.
So at least, you know, we've got this here to show that I did try to achieve that look, but that's one of those things that it's a tough balancing act because like when I look at it to scale, this is printed correctly. Like I do see it. But you know, sometimes like with like Sunday funnies or something, like if there's a fine line with that pattern where if you go just a little too big, then it doesn't look right. You know, it doesn't look like opaque color anymore. So I guess, you know, watch this space, but here's hoping that it prints the way I'm intending it to.
I think that in a poster format, you'd probably be able to, you know, see it and there'd be a big payoff there if ever there's a poster available.
Yeah. Well, that's another interesting thing. Cause we had talked about that too. Like at the time, I want to say it might have been like right around when I was finishing this. They had just announced the Trends International posters. So I you know, we know they've at least done a few of those. I don't know if that's going to continue or not, or if there will be an art book one day or something. But I do hope that somehow eventually these find a way to get out as full prints. Because the other thing is some of the best like little visual gags on these are going to get hidden by the, you know, the graphic at the bottom, like by this.
Yeah.
And I guess that's something I forgot to mention too. So the shot where the fist is punching through with the toy, like two things. Number one, Cobra Commander is not going to be visible in the box because he'll be down here. But I knew that, and that's fine. It's a slaughter box. But the other thing was, at the time that I first saw the layout, the die cut for a plastic free package, this part right here was still there. And I was like, well, why is that still there? Because on here, I understand it's here to help hold, you know, it's there to glue the window onto. But like, if there is no window, what do you need it for? And at the time, we didn't actually know. Like, even Hasbro didn't know. So I was like, well, it's still there. So well, whatever, I have to work around it. It just is what it is. So I made the fist just big enough that you could see, like, I don't know, two or three fingers. So you would understand it was a fist. And he's holding the toy. What I didn't know was that spot ended up being where they put a picture of the actual toy, like a cross sell. And so I was like, oh man. So it's like, there's like my toy gag is right above a picture of the actual toy. So
that'd have been good if you'd have made it so that the hand was almost grabbing the
yeah, image. So now it's like fifth dimensional chess. Now it's like a toy on top of a toy holding a toy. So I think that's one of those little things where it's like, you know, you can only do what you knew at the time. I mean, yeah, hindsight being what it is, I might have switched sides on that just so it didn't butt up against another picture of a toy, but it's still cool. It's probably going to be awesome, I hope.
I think it's going to be on point, this one. No doubt about it. Okay, so then we move into the next image then, I guess, on there, which is the sunbow, right?
Yeah, so this was just trying to get that perfect sunbow look. And here's again where the Steal My Thunder stuff, much like the retro cards. I did this before the Saturday Morning Adventures comic was announced. And I was like, oh man, no one's seen Sunbow Joe in so many years. This is going to like, you know, people are going to flip their wig. And then they have that book. And I'm like, ugh. So, you know, but Sergeant Slaughter's not in that book. So at least you got that, right? So yeah, this was a lot of fun though for me. You know, I actually, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, but I mean, I personally years ago had tried to talk IDW into doing an animated Joe book. It's not like it's the most original idea in the world. Like it's by, I think, far and away G.I. Joe's most popular media iteration. So why, you know, it's a no-brainer to me. So I had always wanted to kind of experiment with the Sunbow style, and particularly with like characters that had never appeared in it, to see what they might have looked like.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like in a way, well, it kind of classified Sarge in a way, I don't know. But so anyway, that's what this is. So if you want to go, so I drew this as pencil on paper.
Yeah.
You know, the same way you would start an animation cell. And then if you go down to the next image here.
Nice, nice.
So now I have that Xerox copied onto acetate. So this is the same way that like a traditional animation cell would be made. So what you're seeing there is obviously my hand showing through it to show that it's transparent.
Brilliant.
And then if you go here, this is where it's all come together. So now I've using acrylic vinyl paint, I've painted it in reverse. So when you flip it over, it looks opaque like that.
Yes.
And then the background is painted onto a separate piece of watercolor board.
So sorry, just to stop you there, you paint it on the back of the acetate so that the lines are at the front untouched, if you know.
Yeah,
what I mean.
So I don't.
So, yeah, so that at the back, when you turn it around, it looks like just a glob of paint, doesn't it? But then you turn it to the front.
Yeah, so I'm going
to
show you. I don't actually have, funny enough, I don't have my own cell next to me here, which is what I should be showing you, but I'll show you this as an example. So like, this is an actual Sergeant Slaughter animation cell from Operation Dragonfire. And then if you flip it over, you see how it's just paint. So that's exactly the same deal. The lines are on the front, the paint is through the back.
What I love about all of this, and what I've always loved about what you do in terms of your process, is how you go like, okay, how did they do this back then? I'm replicating it. Rather than like anyone else would just digitally create it in like, you know, Photoshop or Illustrator or something, and it would be like, there you go, Hasbro. But you're like, no, basically, I'm going to get this piece of wood, I'm going to burn it, I'm going to dip it in acid for 3 hours, then I'm going to, and it's like, holy crap, man. It's like those TV shows where they go back in like medieval times, but they're only allowed to do what they did in medieval times.
Yeah.
I love that about your process, and the fact that you've done that with every individual thing on this thing on is just mind-blowing.
I think for some of it, you ever talk to these like audiophile dorks that are like, oh, but the warmth of a vinyl record, and like, yeah, whatever, you know, like
when you, sure. Yeah, but me, for example, yeah.
Well, yeah, but me too, obviously, you know, like I think that
Pat,
so
definitely Pat.
Yeah, well, you know, we're in good company here. We're all mental cases. So you know, that's kind of like when it comes to stuff like this. Like, I do believe that. I feel like there is sort of a
capturing its soul in a way.
Yeah, even if you can't put your finger on it exactly, there's an authenticity to it. You can tell that like the lines are a little rougher, or the Xerox doesn't translate perfectly or whatever. And so it's just these minor little things, but I do feel like maybe in my own, you know, twisted mind, they make sense. They make a difference, you know? And so if going that little extra mile helps me to tap into some creative space or make it feel more real, then, you know, it's the love of the game, you know?
What I love though is the fact that, you know, when like some artists will be like, here's this concept of this draw, here's my sketch of this drawing that we did and is now artwork, for you, it would look like a blooming collage of acetate, of newspaper, of film strip. None of it would be like, you know, traditional. It would just be also like a collage of random things stuck together. And it's like, this is the artwork for it. This is the original art. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you
were... that's actually a real piece of scanned film strip too, by the way.
I knew it. I absolutely knew it.
I'm forgetting all my own little Easter eggs. There's another thing you'll notice on there. Well, actually, just go to the next shot. Let's talk about it there.
On it. This is the full art now, right? The full art we're looking at.
This is the full finished art. So if you look at the side of the film strip there, you see it says 22A into 23.
Yes.
That, my logic there was I was working on it in 22. It would be released in 23. And 22A is for me, for Adam, because my signature is not going to be visible on there. So.
Brilliant. You Guy Cassidy'd it, didn't you?
Well, I didn't. Yeah, I mean, I didn't put in some of the things those guys did, but...
Like basically his entire name on the side of the persuader.
Yeah.
It's like CA 55A. It's crazy. It's crazy. So yeah, that's awesome, man. That's really nice. And again, another Easter egg that no one would have picked up on.
No.
Are you keeping all these elements in like one spot preserved so that you have, because at this point it's like pre-production G.I. Joe material that's in your collection. Are you keeping it all together or making sure that you don't lose track of things?
No, funny enough, I think like most artists, I don't value my own work. So like, this is just like, you know, flopping around, like, you know, like, I think it's one of those things that in 20 years, I probably will wish I'd kept better track of it, but you know, it's just amongst the junk heap.
So it's like every other item in your collection then basically, right?
Kind of, yeah. I mean... Honestly, it would pain people to know like how some of my own like original paintings I've done and stuff for like Joe boxes are just like sandwiched amongst, you know, stuff on there. Like,
so for the actual Sarge on the on the side of the box, right? Mm-hmm. So if you've done all that with all the others, you cloned Sergeant Slaughter to get a human version of him, and then you melted that clone onto the box, right? Is that what?
Yeah, we took a skin graft off of his thigh.
He went round to all of Sergeant's different houses taking DNA from every single one.
Yeah. we combed the tombs of history's greatest sergeant slaughters to
amazing.
Oh, another little thing too, well, two things I guess. In the spirit of trying to kind of give everything that textural feel and push it back in space.
Yeah.
The Sunbow one, I don't think you could see it in the previous shot, but you can see it in this one. It has film grain's not the word, like color distortion, I guess, on top of it. You know, almost like if you looked at it like an old TV, like a CRT TV up close, you can see like that red, green, blue.
Yeah.
I put that effect on there.
Nice.
And also...
Also, the background, is that an already available cell that you use to lay the Sarge over, or did you make that as well?
No, that's all me. That's acrylic paint. Obviously the HQ is back there just because I thought that would kind of help clue you in that it was very much Sunbow because that's the only place that ever looked like that.
I assumed that you just laid the Sarge over an already existing Sunbow cell.
That would have been too easy. You know, I like to make my life miserable.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just glad to know that you've done every single aspect of that.
It's everything, incredible. And then on the side panel, in the reflection of his glasses, you can see the Sky Strikers there. Perfect. That was sort of I guess the timing of it was kind of a happy accident, but like it obviously timed out that Top Gun Maverick is, you know, at the forefront of everyone's thoughts now. But that was really done because I knew the Sky Striker HasLab was coming, and I thought, yeah, well, this would be perfect. You know, it's kind of a way to, even though they're different scales, it seemed like everyone would be really excited about that arriving around the time this figure arrived. So, but we'd actually discussed a few different, like I had talked about at one point putting like the Warthog in there, the Flag in there, like we'd played around with some different reflections, but the Sky Striker felt sort of low-key enough that it wasn't visually distracting, and obviously it's iconic and everyone's going to be excited about that. So
to me it looks like he's on base, he's on like doing some sort of drill instructor stuff with a bunch of rookies, and the Sky Strikers are obviously taken off, or they're just in formation in the distance kind of thing. Yeah, it's good. It really does invoke a lot of visuals that are going on around his environment at the time. It's really, really good, that, mate.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I've kind of left off here. I mean, it's like, I'm forgetting stuff myself because I got so deep into this. I mean, I know another thing, the top of his shirt will butt up right against the classified logo down here. So that should be like a seamless transition.
I see.
His tank top starts, the edge of his shirt should seamlessly meld into the classified logo right there. So it's, more of that sort of puzzle building graphic design, trying to figure out how to make everything sort of, it's like that, it's like that gif of Winona Ryder at the Oscars or whatever, where she's got all this crazy math flying around her head. That's what designing this was like. Yeah.
Like Charlie's Wall on Always Sunny in Philadelphia. This is happening. And yeah, I can imagine it's an absolute nightmare sometimes. Dude, the artwork's incredible. It's absolutely outstanding. I'm sure like Pat will agree. I'm not going to speak for him, obviously. But as soon as I saw it come up on screen, funnily enough, before she'd even said your name, I'd already identified that it was you. Like straight away, I was like, that's Adam. And she said it. She said Adam Riches as it came up on screen. And we're all sitting there like, what? I think was I live with you at the time, Pat, when we were watching it? I feel like
I can't remember what we were doing. I think that we were going to go live after that streaming.
Yeah, I thought that's
and what so for some reason we were watching that Hasbro live stream together.
And we were all kind of like, it's Adam. Adam's there. We're all like messaging in the message thing. So like,
I gotta tell you guys, it was the hardest secret of my entire life to keep. Every day that went by. And then at one point when we were working, they're like, oh yeah, with the global supply chain, it might get pushed back like 6 months. And I was like, 6 months? it was so hard to sit on this and not talk about it. And like, with each passing reveal of a different classified artist that came out, another figure that came out, another pre-order, I was like, I'm going to explode. So,
mate, I don't know how you kept it together.
I think honestly, for me, more than anything that day, it just felt like the greatest relief in the world to finally be able to talk about it,
It's absolutely awesome. I think it's going to be up there with probably my favorite art of the entire classified run so far. And that's saying something, because some of that artwork on the classified run is exceptional.
There really is some just beautiful art in the line. Like, art is subjective. I realize that it might not be everyone's favorite, but I just hope if they're watching this, they understand that, whether you like the actual execution of it or not, I just hope you realize that I tried very hard to, hit all the feels, to get every nostalgia button, to, get you excited about this brand and this character. And, it was a real labor of love. So I hope that translates. And if it didn't, just kidding.
And if you didn't like it, you can email Chris McLeod at the Full Force Podcast and tell him how much you hate everything he does. No, that's honestly, dude, it's awesome. It's great artwork. Like I said, it's probably up there now as one of my favorites. I can't wait to see it on the actual figure as well. And that's going to be soon because as we record this, it will be out and everyone will be able to see it. So that's another bonus. Are you excited? Because obviously we're pre-recording this. Are you excited, nervous? I mean, how are you feeling about it?
At this point, I think now that it's out there in the world and I'm not having to be careful to not, spill the beans, I'm more than anything, I'm just excited. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to get it in hand. I can't wait to own 20 of them. It's interesting for me too, because like we have now seen the first plastic-free packaging single pack figure in Kamakura, but we haven't had one in hand yet, so we don't know how it feels and all that. Yeah. And like at the time that I did this, another little thing too, like I didn't know that there was going to be that additional flap on top, because used to just have like a plastic hang tab. And when I was designing this, I thought that the choking hazard and age warning was going to have to go basically where like the feet of the Sunbow one is. But obviously that's now been moved up to the top flap. So that's another one of those little things where it's like, I'm just excited to see how it actually prints, because there's so many things that like you would have changed this or that if you'd known and whatever. Yeah. So it's like, I'm just excited at this point. I just want to feel it, see it, smell it,
I'd laugh when it comes out, they've moved everything around. So like everything's a different place. Half his
I
head.
I don't know if I'd laugh.
half, half of the head is just in the middle now, so it stops dead at the cut. Like that would be hilarious.
Yeah, well, it is one of those things that I think they've kind of got it down to a science, but like that's a thing you always worry about in comic books, because the printing, they always tell you to leave like a quarter inch bleed, and I'm like, in this case, a quarter inch would change everything. I mean, it's so tightly packed, so I'm gonna hope that we stick the landing.
A quarter inch of that size poses even more questions. brilliant. Okay, well, yeah, I mean, that kind of brings us to the end of the art. There's more.
Actually, through the magic of editing, I think we have a special visitor that wants to say something, and he's going to come right now.
Listen up, maggots. I want you to go to Hasbro Pulse and pick up the new Sergeant Slaughter classified figure. He comes in a box, an itty bitty dicky box with artwork by me, so you know it's good. Any questions? Then you're dismissed. Yojo!
Yeah, that was really nice of Sergeant Slaughter to stop by, to help sell that figure for us. And, yeah. And I think we got one more slide there, right?
You've got a few, obviously. Well, let's talk about your meetings with the Sarge then.
We don't have to get too deep into those. I've gushed endlessly about them, and you can watch that other podcast with him if you want to hear that. But as I said, if you want to hear this, the short version for the 8 billionth time, when I was a little kid, my mom ran into him at a restaurant one time. She told him what a huge fan her son was. She wanted him to get like an autograph on a napkin or something. He asked for her address. She said, "Yeah, okay, sure." And sure enough, a week later, a signed G.I. Joe 8x10 arrived in the mail. So he's been a hero since I was a little kid, but I didn't get to actually meet him for the first time until 2017, which is what that first picture is. And then the second one was at Joe Fest 2019. And then the next slide is when tried to kill me.
I love the face you're pulling in that shot. It's incredible.
You got to put him over big. I'm selling for the Sarge.
Absolutely.
But anyway, so that's it, man. It was... It's been a lifetime journey of Sergeant Slaughter fandom that culminates in the ultimate moment, getting to illustrate Sergeant Slaughter's return to G.I. Joe. And if I do say so myself, I don't think they could have found anyone more qualified for the job.
I think we'd all agree on that one.
I definitely agree. You did an excellent job. Thank you. Thank you for doing that, making me have a wonderful package in my collection.
Thank you for buying it. I get no royalties.
I can't wait to see all of your separate artwork go up on eBay for thousands of dollars.
That will never, ever be happening, both because I wouldn't sell it, and also because I don't think I'm contractually allowed.
mate, awesome stuff. Okay, well, that brings us to the end of the artwork discussion, but it doesn't bring us to the end of the Sergeant Slaughter discussion. So... I suppose, without further ado, let's get into the next segment.
Hey there, guys. Just wanted to let you know about an app that I've been helping to develop for a few years now called Hoarder. But what is Hoarder, I hear you scream? Well, a number of years ago, I discussed a project with a good friend of mine and now co-owner/developer about an app that could help collectors of all shapes and sizes. I'm talking about the shapes and sizes of the collections, really, but also people. The app would be a place where you could share your new items, build collections and sub-collections, or just browse the feed to see cool things. Well, we made it. We tested it for a number of years, and now it's out there for you to enjoy on iOS or Android devices. You can upload a single item at a time at your own pace and slowly build your collections. You can post status updates that could be related to your collections, like getting a delivery or posting a scene in which you can tag items in that image if you've uploaded them in the past. You can add tags to your items in order to easily search for and find them, and of course to add them into your respective collections. You can like posts, comment on them, or start a conversation with a fellow collector, directly message users you follow, and even add items you see on your feed to your want list. If you prefer to use your computer or laptop, have no fear, you can use the website browser version and even utilize the awesome inventory option, allowing any user to change certain details, add notes, upload bulk items from spreadsheet files, and download a CSV of your entire itemized collection. We made this app for collectors, and we hope that you enjoy using it as much as we enjoyed creating it. Now get to hoarding.
Right, continuing with our regular monthly segment now, Version Therapy, which is where we choose a single G.I. Joe or Cobra character and have a discussion on what figure version is their best. Now, of course, we are all probably going to have different opinions on this based on when we were born, personal experience and so on, but that's where the fun lies. Feel free to let us know who your favourite action figure version is and why in the comments below as well. So who have we got next? Last month, we looked at Destro based on his prominence in the comics for G.I. Joe and Action Force, so it only makes sense that we do the only figure we really could today. Yeah, you know you've already half the battled it. It's the Sarge, of course. So, guys, let's start, Adam. We'll start with you, being as you are our guest today. It's a difficult thing to try and do. I say it's a difficult thing, but every time I ask you guys what's your favorite version of something, it's usually immediate. But take us through your, let's go with, yeah, your, what was your favorite Sarge version? Or maybe take us through a little bit of the background with you and the figures.
Well, I think I speak for all three of us. It's classified. So it's been a good show, guys. And you're Jeff. So I just started collecting G.I. Joe like late 89, early 90. So I missed all the initial run Slaughter figures at retail. The first Slaughter figure that I ever got, I didn't get until probably 93, I'm thinking, and it was from a comic store, and it was Triple T Slaughter.
Awesome.
It might be time for a new O-ring. It's hard to really call any of them my favorite. I mean, he's one of my favorite characters, favorite wrestlers, but, you know, we didn't even delve into the fact that I'm also a lifelong wrestling fan and have worked in wrestling, so, like, there's a whole lot of overlap here with me and the Sarge, you know? But, I think that this figure for me, just because of the cartoon especially, sort of is the closest approximation we ever got to what he looked like in Sunbow. And so for that reason, it's probably this. But I'd like to hear your guys' favorites. And then if you want, can we just talk through some of them all a little bit? Because he really doesn't have that many. And I feel like they're all worth a little discussion.
In terms of your Triple T version, Pat, I know you had some extra cool stuff you wanted to talk about in terms of that figure.
Yeah, I just thought that it would be cool to throw in a picture here from the Toy Fair catalog of Sergeant Slaughter in what has to be one of the earliest sculpted Slaughters for the toy line, I think. I would really be really curious to take a look at this from the mail-in Slaughter, if one of those exists. That'd be cool to see it. But you can kind of see here that he only has like the side-to-side neck rather than the fully articulated neck.
Yeah.
And that his arms are different. He just
massive
generally
Popeye
looks
forearms
different. Yeah. I think maybe this one may have been handcrafted just for the purpose of getting something into the Toy Fair catalog. So it may not actually be created for the development of the figure, but rather than created more for something to have for marketing of the figure. That's entirely possible. But it definitely is an earlier Sergeant Slaughter and worth looking at. I think it's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
He's almost got a little bit of that, like, kind of soft look, the same way that, like, the initial Tomat and Zaymot and Tomax have, you know, where the sculpt looks a little bit, like, almost, like, rounded.
Yeah, I think those may have been created for marketing as well.
I love the shape of the head. It's, like, really round. It's amazing. I love that. While we're on Pat at the moment, Pat, why don't you take us through one of your favorite or maybe your favorite Sarge figure? Because I also know that it's exactly the same as my choice. So go for it.
Yeah, the one that I was most excited to get whenever I was going back and filling in my collection, because I'd missed out on G.I. Joe for a couple of years. But my favorite one is the Warthog Driver, the one where you can remove his hat.
Yeah.
And the outfit that he's wearing is so G.I. Joe. It's not something that is based on his wrestling outfit. It's something that's completely new, but also completely characteristic of Sergeant Slaughter. And so I really love that one. It just doesn't get enough attention, in my opinion.
I agree. The deco as well is just perfect, isn't it? Like, you've got greens in there, that kind of like dark, kind of like almost like really deep brownie burgundy kind of color. The red, the silver, the tan. There's just so many different deco hits on it. And it just, to me, it's like one of the most kind of like, it kind of, everything pulls together really nicely visually on it. And the figure in hand is so, is definitely, sorry, Adam, on this one, but it's definitely an upgrade in terms of the construction, I would say, like the kind of the strength of the joints, the kind of, yeah, like my Warthog version, exactly. My Warthog version is solid, but my Triple T one, the knees have gone. So it's like, it's got the lower leg kind of wibbles as well. But as much as I love that figure, like, because obviously I was introduced to Sergeant Slaughter through wrestling. So we knew who Sergeant Slaughter was, but for the UK contingent, he was known as Sergeant Slammer in the G.I. Joe, in the Action Force cartoons and in the media and everything. So the toys were Sergeant Slammer. The Warthog was the Sergeant Slammer that came with the Warthog on a G.I. Joe, the Action Force Warthog, which had slightly different artwork to the American version as well, which is kind of cool as well to see them side by side. I'll see if I can get a comparison up on there too.
Actually, I do want to take a look at that.
Not drastic, but definitely subtle changes and differences. So, you know, like I was a big fan of the Sarge, just because obviously Arise of Pentor Arise was on constant rotation. The movie was on constant rotation. So that kind of like Sarge fix was like whenever I wanted it at any point. And he was one of those characters that when the Triple T came out, I had to get that. I remember getting that for, I think it was a birthday. And I got the Water Moccasin as well. The Water Moccasin and the Triple T, right? So some absolute bangers there. But I remember vividly, I was at my Auntie Di's house in Birmingham at the time, and I had the figure out. And for some reason, I was looking, I couldn't find his baton. I dropped it. Now, her carpet was quite depthy. So it just basically, I lost it in the recesses of there. Look at all those you've got. That's horrible. That just makes me feel sick. My Sarge is batonless, unfortunately. So when the Warthog version came out, well, for one, that vehicle is just one of my all-time favorite vehicles in G.I. Joe. I think it's only pipped by the Tomahawk, in my opinion. And you're probably going to think this is ridiculous, but also the Tigerfly. I love the Tiger Force Dragonfly. I don't know why. Sue me. But yeah, like that Warthog is just absolutely superb. Troop carrying, three ports, all different types of entrances that you can put figures in, massive missiles on it, an antenna, like can go in water, it's like amphibious, just unreal toy, and a proper bruiser of a toy as well. Like you really bash it around, it was great. I love the Warthog and the Sarge because of that. But I mean, he's had a few decent versions. I'm surprised Marauders wasn't on your top list, Adam.
So he's actually had even more than a few decent versions. I mean, surprisingly, for when you think about like Fred or Roddy Piper. So he has, I've got everything right next to me. So let's go through it. So we've got
Mail Away version one.
We've got Mail Away version one.
Did not get that in the United Kingdom.
Triple T driver. We've got Warthog driver.
Brilliant.
We've got Slaughter's Marauders.
Brilliant.
Then we take a little hiatus. Then we come back with the convention exclusive.
Yes, nice. The desert camo.
Yeah, that's actually a really nice figure too. Underrated. He's got the Battle Corps Gung Ho torso.
I do like the deco actually. I think it's quite nice. Quite reminiscent of the Warthog
version. Then we take a bunch of years off and come back in 2010, is it? With these guys, which were San Diego exclusive.
Yep.
That released at the same time, and it's one of those weird things where now like nobody knows what version they are. So is it like version, what is it, 6A and 6B, because they came out the same day?
Yeah.
But yeah, those are really nice. And then I think that wraps up his mainline US figures until Classified, but he's had surprisingly a lot more than just that. And I'm just talking about not even his mountains of wrestling figures, which he's had many, but all of his just Hasbro official G.I. Joe product. We've got a shampoo bottle.
Nice.
Which that sort of counts as it's figural. You can take it down.
So dark.
Is there still shampoo in there?
Unfortunately not, but it still has a very refreshing berry fragrance from the 80s that lingers.
I really thought you were going to start drinking out of it for a second then.
Yeah, it's my canteen.
Have you got the minifigure?
course.
The Micro figure.
Micro Force. This was 1989, I think, right? This
I came love that figure. I love with, that figure.
Some figures. Really nice, yeah. And if scales.
I was lucky enough. I was lucky enough to get that when I was on a trip to the US in 89, I think it was. Managed to get that on a carded figure. What really happened? It might have been Countdown, actually, that came with that.
I was going to say, there were so many great figures that you could have had this with, like, Snake Eyes version 3. What a combo that would have been, huh?
Yeah,
a really nice figure. And it pairs perfectly size-wise with the Jada metal figure. So if you're collecting those.
How dare you drop a version 3 Snake Eyes comment.
Then we've got here's one that's a little lesser loved. Creo. A Creo figure.
I love that one personally.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really nice. Surprising that he only got the one and it was only in the Marauders Echo, but
that set's really adorable as well.
Oh yeah, this is a great set, and it comes with him on the side here. It's a but that's not all either. He also has this nice Argentina, I believe, the Plastarama Sargento Slaughter.
Brilliant.
That's real cool. Only time
Smasher. You
single. Yeah, so the Smasher is that's UK, right?
No, Smasher is India.
Oh no, India. That's Fun School, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he's that figure, that's the one and only Slaughter I don't own. And that one is very similar to Slaughter's Marauders.
Yeah.
Just like this one is obviously very similar to Triple T colors,
I love the artwork on the card.
Oh yeah, it's really really fun. Also,
it's
fun
so fact, much better. One. So much better than the classified artwork.
It really is. this is also the only item ever to reveal his file name, which they say is Alan Heavy. Where they got that from, I have no idea. Because it is most certainly not his real name.
Maybe in the G.I. Joe universe, it's Alan.
Yeah, maybe.
Unbelievable.
And of course, we've got actually the very first Slaughter toy ever, I believe, the mail-away 8-inch rubber, like, wrestling LJN style figure that Hasbro made. This is a very expensive figure nowadays. In fact, I think this is the single most expensive figure I've ever bought in my life.
And that's, then saying course, some, that's saying something, Captain.
Yeah, really.
1,000 Royal Guards now.
Yeah, but they were cheap comparatively. And then the other figure I do have, but is currently in a state of disrepair while I do a little touch-up work on him, is Super Cop, which I suppose doesn't actually count as a Sergeant Slaughter, but it is a pretty cool figure. I mean, and it does have his head, so it's him. Whatever.
Absolutely, absolutely.
After he was done being a pro wrestler and a special drill instructor for G.I. Joe, he decided to hang it up and get behind the badge. he's a man of many talents.
There was something we should probably talk about as well while we're we're not on the subject of the Warthog Sarge, but Pat, you sent me some amazing pictures of the prototype Warthog Sarge,
ooh,
a close-up as well, and some like a box kind of mock-up as well, which is unreal.
Well, these are also from the Toy Fair from a different Toy Fair catalog. I always find this to be super interesting to look at what is actually in there, because I think that it's easy to just see the figure and be like, yep, that's the figure, glance past it, move to the next page. But if you look at this picture in the Toy Fair catalog, that's not the removable hat Slaughter.
No,
that's the original Slaughter head. And then that body that it's on is Tunnel Rat. It's not Sergeant Slaughter.
Amazing.
But what makes it even more interesting is if you take a look at the package art for the Warthog, it's not the Slaughter figure we got that's actually on the box art. It's the one with the Tunnel Rat torso, because you could see that instead of a knife, he has the gun and the way that the ammunition goes across his chest. It's actually, a negative slope rather than the positive slope that's on the finished figure. You know, it's over the right shoulder rather than the left. So it's interesting to see where some of these things pop up. It kind of speaks to what Adam was saying earlier, that, when he was doing the art, he was doing it off of an earlier Sergeant Slaughter figure and what he thought the figure was going to look like. And apparently, whenever somebody was creating the art for the Warthog back in the day, they were doing the same thing and basing it on the mock-up Slaughter that used the Tunnel Rat torso.
Okay, so let's try and work out who these other characters are on this box art, guys.
Oh, yeah. And then also in the Toy Fair catalog right next to it, there's a mock-up of the box art for the Warthog. And it just has all these Joes pouring out of it.
And I want to say crazy
legs. None of them
legs.
Look like... What?
I want to say crazy legs is the one that's closest to the camera.
With, like a sleeveless crazy legs, yeah.
Yeah,
some of them look kind of like they're painted... to vaguely look like colors of Joes, but maybe they were drawn to be a different Joe.
I would say that's Crazy Legs, and then maybe Law and Order, and then maybe... No, they're all made up. None of these are real characters.
Sitting behind Slaughter, it almost reminds me, the torso kind of reminds me of Dodger's torso, but then not in Dodger's colors.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. These would be some fun customs. I would love to see like some really good customizers tackle these characters.
Coming soon to Operation Recall, the Warthog vehicle drivers.
That would actually be really dope. Yeah, cool. I thought it was worth chatting about as well, because it's just so fun to see, you know, especially the Sarge figure, which you wouldn't think would have, the Warthog version anyway, you wouldn't think would have many... prototypes or many, you know, mock-ups or anything like that, but it does, and there it's right there to see and behold.
I'm always astonished to this day just how much pre-production went into every single item, like, and not even just like when you think of this stuff nowadays, because so much of it's digital, you think about these really quick loose sketches that are just disposable computer kind of quick email stuff. These are very, very thorough. I mean, if you see some of those, like the Dave Dorman presentation paintings that were easily good enough to be box art that were only ever used internally, or like you see how like an entire fully rendered marker illustration was done for this box before the actual art was painted, or how, you know, all the different color studies. I mean, it's like every figure must have had 20 different drawings associated with it in the development cycle. It's so fascinating to think just how much really went into these.
Definitely, definitely. And it's cool to see the mock-up as well. Like, yeah, and you kind of want to know what they were given in terms of reference, or if they just made it up. If they were just going, let's just put some generic random, what I would expect to see in G.I. Joe kind of characters in there. So yeah, I'd like to know do we know who did that, by the way?
No idea. I would expect this to have been done in-house though. I don't know, just as kind of a rough idea. I also wonder, you know, was this given to the artist to kind of give them an idea of what to do? Or maybe, you know, maybe the packaging artist even did this as a rough thing for approval, and then Hasbro ended up just using this, you know, like, I don't know. There's a lot of questions and a lot of different ways this could have played out.
Absolutely. You would have to think back then that a lot of the artists were probably being sent actual product to work from.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they had to there's certain things that you can fudge, you can make up. I can dress up in a costume and pose myself like Law, but like, I can't imagine what the other side of the Warthog looks like if I've never held one and I've never seen it, you know? So I think they were probably having to send them at least test shots or early models or something, right? Because
I would think so, yeah.
It's crazy, you know, that's the other thing, is you just wonder how many of these treasures are probably still in various people's houses that have no idea that they're pre-production, you know? Like,
right.
It's a many, many layers of the onion to peel back. I think we'll be doing it for the rest of our lives.
Genuinely do. The more stuff just keeps coming out, which is great, that, you know, we just have no idea about. And then someone will be like, oh, so I've got a book coming out, and here's all of this cool stuff that you've never seen before. It kind of makes me happy, because it makes me excited to think that we've got more to come. And you know that's the case, because... like for a while I was thinking, oh, we've probably seen everything we're going to see now. I feel like there was a little moment in the kind of history of Joe where it felt like we'd kind of seen everything, and the fact that we've seen so much in just the last couple of years come out that we've never seen before makes me think, well, this is going to be never ending. This is going to be beyond us living. I think this stuff's going to be kind of appearing, and so I'm excited. Plus there's all the new stuff that's being made that will eventually become, you know, like your artwork, for example, Adam, which is going to become like museum quality artifacts, isn't it? Like all
Let's
of
hope
your...
so. I'm looking to retire one day.
In any case, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you gents about the Sarge, and of course your artwork, Adam. That should be dropping as we speak. We should be able to, you should be able to pre-order that item on Pulse, I'd imagine.
Well, I mean, if not, Sergeant Slaughter misspoke because he told you to go buy it today. So
he certainly did. So links in the description, hopefully. If not, I'll just post this on the day that we know he's definitely being uploaded. Anyway, guys, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me. Pat, thanks for jumping on again, buddy.
Thanks for having me on again. It's fun.
Always. And of course, Adam, thanks for chatting about your artwork in massive detail, pal. We really appreciate it.
As always.
Maybe a little less detail next time, though, yeah?
Less time, yeah.
Kidding.
That cramped my style a little.
That brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining us for the 4/4 Monthly. Massive thank you to my awesome co-hosts, Patrick Stewart and Adam Riches. See you next month. And as always, after three, one, two, three,
full force.
Done.
Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing and commenting on these videos, and as always you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.